Rene Shafransky's new novel is Tips for Living. It is published by Lake Union Publishing, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Rene Shafransky to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joe. I'm very happy to be here.
You know, it's fascinating because I've read so many of your articles and your essays. You're a psychotherapist. You are known for your screenplays, work with, of course, Spalding Gray. And then to find out that this was your first novel, how long have you had a novel in you?
Wow. Thanks for asking that question. I didn't know I had a novel in me. And then one day I was hiking in the woods, and the first paragraph of this novel, Tips for Living, came to me verbatim, and it is a mystery. And just previous to that paragraph coming to me, my mom had passed away, and when I went down to Florida to take care of all the things in her life, I discovered in her car a giant bag of large print mystery books that were about to be returned to the library. And I hadn't known she was such a big mystery fan, and I decided I wanted to write a book that she would like. So hopefully I've done that with what I hope is a page-turning mystery about my main character, Nora Glasser.
What was it about the first paragraph that ultimately set the tone, do you think?
What set the tone was, I don't think it's any mystery to maybe a number of your listeners, that I had a real dumpster fire of a divorce about 25 years ago. And since then, I've become a psychotherapist, and I work with a lot of people over the decades that have gone through the same thing, and they experience a lot of similar emotions in the beginning, the kind of blame and anger at betrayal. And I thought, that's a good motivator for a mystery, a kind of universal mystery. And so I invented Nora Glasser, who has gone through a heartbreaking betrayal and a very public divorce. And she's moved to a small town and reinvented her life and gotten a job writing a column called Tips for Living. And just when she thinks she's reclaimed her life, she's pulled back into all this messy, raw emotion because her ex-husband and his new family buy a summer house in the small resort town that she lives in. And shortly thereafter, they are found murdered. Mm. And guess who becomes the prime suspect?
Sure.
That was, for me, a great springboard for a story which an early reviewer called Murder Mystery with Soul, and I hope that's the case.
The opening paragraph, Helene Westing, the woman my ex-husband had an affair with and impregnated while we were married, joined my Pilates mat class a few weeks before Thanksgiving. Let me say that again. Helene Westing, the woman my ex-husband had an affair with and impregnated while we were married, joined my Pilates mat class a few weeks before Thanksgiving. I was there first, lying on my back, just like with my husband. So given that you had lived at least a portion of this, was it that you had dealt with it that allowed you to be able to write it, or that you wanted to explore it more through the writing process?
I personally had dealt with it, but I was dealing on a daily basis, as I said, as a psychotherapist with a lot of people who haven't. And I got to witness the stages that they go through with all of that. And a lot of the emotional reactions are trauma reactions. There are fight and flight responses. So I wanted to put my heroine through some of the things that I saw happening, and there is, without giving away, without doing any spoilers for the book, there's a reason that the main character mistrusts herself as to whether she, in fact, was involved in the murders.
Right.
She has a certain problem that I don't want to give away that doesn't allow her to remember what was going on the night it happened with her, where she was. And so the book has another level, I hope, which is about learning to trust yourself. There's an old Sufi saying that says, first you get a whisper, then you get a command, then you get a blow to the head. And in my work as a therapist and in my personal life, I discovered that you get signals when things are wrong in life. That's the whisper. Then you get a command that tells you to do something about it. And if you still don't listen, things explode. So I wanted Nora to go through that as well.
And without, as you refer to it as a dumpster fire, but you, as a result of living through this and going through what happened with you and Spalding Gray and his tragic end, you had a lot of blows to the head, didn't you?
Oh, those, yes, early on in my marriage, of course, and his suicide was tragic, but the book goes in another direction from all of that. It really, the divorce was a springboard, and the book moves into a kind of traditional, hopefully fun and fast-paced murder mystery.
In that murder mystery and in the plotting of that, does it change for you? I mean, you've worked a lot in writing and in screenplays, as I mentioned in the introduction. Does it change of having that background as a psychotherapist of knowing about not only the experience of hearing the stories, but also having the science of what it is and what allows us and what compels us to do what we do?
Oh, sure. One of the reasons I became a psychotherapist, I had spent many years beforehand in Hollywood as a screenwriter, but I became less and less interested in the kind of movies that were being made there. And so when I was thinking of changing a careers, I thought, well, what else makes use of what I know about character motivation and human behavior? And I thought, well, psychotherapy, and also having myself spent many years in therapy, I thought that is something that's really a good marriage with continuing to write, which is something I wanted to do as well. And the two things feed each other very well.
Do you see them as, is there a separation of church and state for you of this is my writing time, this is now I'm going to go to my office and be a therapist?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Definitely a separation. And when I say that, you know, I use my experience with clients, I don't use the client.
Oh, of course.
I just,
sure.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, definitely.
But in the sense that, I guess it's the long way of asking the question of, you know, now that you've written a novel, do you think to yourself, oh, well, that is what I would like to do with my life?
Oh, I would definitely like to continue writing novels. And in fact, I'm working on the next mystery involving the same character, Nora Glasser. But I don't want to give up my therapy practice. It's quite rewarding.
What is it about that practice and your becoming a psychotherapist that what is rewarding about it to you? What do you gain from that experience?
Well, the first thing is you're really at the center of someone's life. It's not going to a party and chatting. It's not a typical workplace experience where you're with colleagues. You are really having the experience of being at the center of somebody's world and helping them find their way through difficult experiences. Sometimes what you do is accompany them, and I mean that metaphorically, through very difficult emotions until they surface again to, you know, function in the world. Sometimes you advise, but it's very rewarding to see people find their way and help them do that, because I'm a firm believer in the fact that they always have the answer. It's just a matter of separating out a lot of things to allow them to hear themselves.
As you mentioned, we don't want to give too much away, but Nora has trust issues, right? I mean, Nora has issues of trusting her own mind.
Exactly, yes.
And what is it that you found interesting in exploring that idea?
I think that a lot of women in particular, but certainly I've met men the same, doubt their own experience. I mean, what happens with Nora is a metaphor for that. But, you know, the whole idea of being gaslit, where you think you know something, but you can't trust that you know it. And you undermine yourself by not listening to that little voice in you that knows really what's what. And I wanted Nora to learn that she has to trust herself. What else have you got if you can't do that?
The name of the new novel is Tips for Living. It is from Lake Union Publishing. And it is very suspenseful. And what was the most challenging aspect of writing a mystery for you?
I think the most challenging aspect was it's the first time I'd attempted it, so it was like building a plane in the air. I didn't know. I didn't know what to do, and I would keep writing myself into corners and trying to figure out how to get out of them. And then I realized, oh, well, that's exactly what Nora is going through. And so I tried to use that, like working my way into tough situations and working my way out of them. And I knew who the killer was from the very beginning when I sat down, but figuring out how to build the great ride there was something, as I said, that was like building the plane in the air.
Well, it is a very entertaining novel. It is entitled Tips for Living. It is published by Lake Union Publishing. Renee Shafransky, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A delight to have you on the program.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Tips for Living. It is now out from Lake Union. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.